Hello and welcome to the She Reads Truth podcast. She Reads Truth creates beautiful, accessible Bible reading plans and resources to help you get into God's Word every day. Each week here on the podcast, we talk about what we're going to read together as a community this week. I'm your host, Amanda Bible Williams.
And I'm your other host, Rachel Myers. And y'all, we closed the book of Romans last week, just yesterday, and we are opening a brand new three-week series today called Psalms for Prayer. I am so excited to be in the Psalms, and I'm excited about our guest. Today we are joined by Sam Alberry. He's on staff at Emmanuel Church here in Nashville. I can't think of a better guest for this episode. The tone of what he did, I mean, he's a minister, and at heart you can tell. And Amanda and I both felt really, truly ministered to and grateful, and I think that you'll feel the same. Y'all, this is a three-week series that you aren't going to want to miss a bit of. Let's open the Psalms together and let's learn how to pray them. Let's get right to this episode.
Sam, thank you. It's such a joy to have you with us.
It's great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Across town, but technically over a computer, but I already feel like this is going to be a great new friendship. I'm excited.
That's right. Next time in person.
Absolutely.
Well, as you know, we are opening the book of Psalms, and not to read the whole thing, but we're going to read a selection of 15 Psalms. But before we dig in, Sam, I was thinking this morning about Psalms and how grateful I am that they exist. And Rachel, you even prayed that as we got started. Mm-hmm. But tell us just about the Psalms in general. What I was thinking of this morning of how the Lord didn't have to include them. Mm-hmm. You know, and there are a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And so what does it tell us about God? What can we learn from God just that they are in His Word, that they were given to us?
Yeah, it's a great question because they're not typically adding to our historical understanding of what happened to the people of God. It's not as if there's sort of breaking historical news that we only find in the Psalms. Most of them we see are connected to some part of salvation history. But they're so precious because they are showing us what is going on in the heart as people are walking with the Lord through all the various stages of Old Testament history, through all the various stages of life. So I think for me, both as a Christian, but also as a pastor, I see virtually every single emotional state that we could ever find ourselves in represented in the Psalms. And so it is God in His kindness giving us ways to relate to Him however we're feeling.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Even just yesterday, a very dear friend of mine messaged me last night and he said he just feels as though God hates him. Mm. Life is painful for him in this season. And he was just being very honest with me. I appreciated his honesty. And one of the things I could say to him is there's even words the Holy Spirit Himself gives us to say to express how much we feel God is letting us down. And I kind of think, how crazy gracious is God to not only let us make complaints about Him, but to even give us words to do so.
Wow.
So, we see that in a couple of the Psalms that we look at here. One of the psalmists talks about his complaint to the Lord. And I kind of think, isn't it amazing that God not only allows us to have issues with Him, but He'll actually say, hey, here are some words to better help you express the issues you have with me.
So good.
So, and there's all the other sort of colors of the emotional rainbow reflected in there as well. But I find that so reassuring that whatever I'm feeling, God had anticipated it. And somewhere in the Psalms is some words that will perfectly capture how I'm feeling.
Yeah, that's good. I've always kind of thought of the Psalms as like our permission slip. Right? Like, come to me with however you are, right? But, you know, hearing what you've just said, I almost also think of them now as a script. Like, they're a permission slip, but they're also a script that we can read when we don't have words. We can go, and that's kind of what we're, you know, what we have in front of us for the coming 3 weeks. These Psalms for prayer. And, you know, as we go through our coming, you know, 21 days, we get Psalms for when I'm afraid, Psalms for when I'm glad, Psalms for, you know, all of these occasions, not just a permission slip, but a script. I like that.
It is. And I don't know about you, I feel pretty lousy at prayer. I've never felt good at it.
Amanda's got her hand up.
Yep.
And all of these Psalms and so many other parts of the Bible as well, it's pre-approved prayers.
Yeah.
So whether you're on cloud nine and having an absolute blast in life, or whether you're struggling, whether you're fearful, whatever it is, here's a pre-approved prayer to express that.
Mm. Right.
It's a way of being able to express how we're feeling in a way that's spiritually healthy.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And it just shows so much to the kind of God that we have that, you know, when we have a problem with the Lord, he says, bring it to me.
Mm-hmm,
don't have to talk about me behind my back. Bring it to me. I'm okay with that. So it's just lovely. He knows our frailty. He knows every shade of our emotional kind of existence and allows for that, accounts for that, serves us in that, gives us things to do and to say in that. And it's not just, it's not just, hey, here's lots of ways to express the way you're feeling. There's the dialogue there, because so often, particularly with the negative emotions, that the pattern we have in these psalms is, this is how I'm feeling. This is what my soul is telling me.
Mm-hmm.
And yet this is what I know about the Lord.
That's right.
And mm-hmm. to bring that then into conversation with the heart is a really good model. I've had some very dark seasons over the years, and I've used that model to help me. So there's been some times when I've opened up a notebook and I thought, okay, on one side of the page, I'm going to write down what my feelings are telling me. Mm-hmm. I need to understand them. I need to put that into words. And then directly opposite that on the other page, I'm going to put things that I know are true from the Bible, promises mm-hmm. of the Lord, aspects of his character, and set them alongside what my feelings are saying.
Mm.
And we see David and others doing that in the Psalms. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Well, here's why. And then bringing that into dialogue with, well, this is what the Lord is like. And in some of these Psalms we have here in this particular guidebook, we have that same process happening.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah,
that's good. So not just a script, but a framework. It really like gives templates. Us these templates mm-hmm. for like fill in the blank here. Like, I love what you said about, well, why, what is hard? And we really kind of talk about that in the front matter of mm-hmm. the reading guide that we have. Mm-hmm. For those of you all listening, you know, we just wrapped up Romans, and that was just a whole series that was just really wonderful to me. I really enjoyed it. It was a woof, but it was a good woof.
Just on that, don't you love the fact that at the end of 2 Peter, Peter's honoring Paul, but Peter says in the Bible that some of what Paul says is hard to understand.
Yeah.
Even the Bible is telling you Paul isn't easy. So yeah. I'm scratching my head in Romans, I'm like, that's okay.
Okay.
I also want to say to Peter, you're not a walk in the park either yourself. But
I love it. Yeah.
Right? little complex there, buddy. Yeah.
So it feels like maybe a hard right turn to go out of Romans, and now we're going, okay, well, let's go into the Psalms. But even like format-wise, of course, book of the Bible versus a little bit more of a curation. Yes, we're in the Psalms, but we've curated the Psalms. And then also like, you know, reading guide-wise, we didn't have a lot of like daily interaction or anything like that. That was just sort of like for us to do, whereas this reading guide has a ton of daily interaction.
Right.
It is more than we usually do.
Yeah, it's very unique. Those of you who have been reading along with us for a while and who are familiar with the books that we create, the daily worksheet is a unique element and one that it's really fun. I have to kind of break the seal on worksheets where I just look at it and go, I don't really know the right answer, but then you have to just start interacting.
It's true.
Right? Like the point is interacting. The point is not having the right answer. But another unique thing about this resource is that we don't have supplemental passages.
Right.
Which, Sam, this is very different for us. Normally, like when we were reading through Romans, for example, every day alongside our passage from Romans that we had for the day, there were also other passages from across Scripture to help Scripture interpret Scripture. But in this reading plan, I felt like an intentional kind of restraint.
Yeah.
That no, here's my theory,
mm-hmm.
is that if it were there, I know myself fairly well at this point in my life. I'm getting there anyway. And I would have 100% deflected to the supplementals because a lot of what's in the psalm, if I just have to sit in the psalm, it makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Either because it's very accurate to my season or it's not,
mm-hmm.
right? Or because I prefer a more academic approach to God than the like, oh, you want, we're going to sit in emotions? Okay, well, let's do that.
Yeah, there's something about theology where you sort of feel, you kid yourself, you can kind of keep it at arm's length a bit.
Yep.
I think, okay, I'm happy to study that verse over there and think about that truth and what it means. And yep, I think I've got my head around it. I can get on with the day. With the Psalms, God's kind of, you know, let's see what's going on under the hood in your heart.
Yeah.
Just exposing you. And there's something.
Prolonged eye contact.
Yeah, it's. That's not comfortable. I mean, it's we need it. It's good for us. But I don't always want to know what's going on in my heart.
Me either. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's very consistent with what we see from God throughout Scripture. Like all of the Old Testament. I mean, it just how many times do we see that the Lord saying, like, this is about your heart.
Yeah.
This is about your heart. And what I'm after is your heart and your worship and your whole self. And so when I think of it that way, it makes perfect sense that God gave us the Psalms.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jesus saying, you know, the most important commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Right.
It's about love. Yeah. It's not simply about theological comprehension. And even in Romans, we see that. Paul is constantly kind of, you know, offer God your bodies as a living sacrifice. That heart element, that worship, he keeps breaking out into doxology. And yeah, but it's not always comfortable to look at our hearts.
No, it isn't.
And a lot of that, like that love the Lord your God, like that's enter into relationship with the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Like that's the invitation.
Right. And that the Psalms show us that our emotions are actually not, they can feel like such a deterrent. Like we feel, I feel far from God because of all of this that I have going on inside of me. And what we see in the Psalms is that God uses our, even those parts of ourselves as like just a doorway to Him. Mm-hmm. Like actually just walk on, just press on into that because I'm here even in this, and there is the relational aspect of God, which is who He is, right? He's a triune God. Mm-hmm. And so the Psalms, just as a testimony that we serve a relational God, this is not our religion, our faith, our belief. These are not transactional things. Like it, we can make them that way, but God doesn't make them that way. Like God is making it very clear, I think, in His word that He is a relational God.
Yeah. Which is, it's so beautiful that He is. It's at times inconvenient for us that He is.
Yes, it is.
Because I can't just mail off my, you know, pay my dues once a month and know I'm done.
Right.
But it's such a great comfort, particularly in those difficult times of life, to know that God, it's not just He calls me to have a heart relationship with Him, but He's showing me He has a heart relationship with me.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And so He's not just kind of monitoring me from afar as one of His projects or something, but His heart is with me, which actually makes my heart then want to be with Him.
Right.
Yeah.
We love Him because He first loves us.
That's right.
Okay, so friends listening, if you're listening to this on the day that it releases, it's Monday, and you have 5 days of Bible reading ahead of you. And on each of these days, like Amanda said, no supplemental reading, just these psalms for prayer. And so it's either going to be a whole psalm or a portion of a psalm, and we'll be working our way through those. I'm going to read to you because I think that you're going to love the way that this is set up. It is, I know we talk about like Scripture not as a vending machine, very clearly. Like it's not like, well, this is, I only read Scripture when. Mm-hmm. But there is this usefulness, this practicality to going, I am feeling afraid. What do I read? Like, how do I like, show me some language for that. And so this week, in fact, our 5 reading days will be a prayer for praising God's goodness, a prayer for celebrating God's provision, a prayer for when God seems silent, a prayer for delighting in God's word, and a prayer for when you feel afraid. I loved this week.
Yeah.
I loved the reading in this week. And then you'll also see in the study book, starting on page 14, but it's several spreads long, this sort of like prep work. If you're getting ready to like engage in these psalms, sort of a like, okay, well, here's some elements to look for in each of these psalms, things to be on the lookout for, how God is addressed, you know, the details that are described in the situation, the confessions of sin, the confession of need, requests for help, and then the praise. And so like these 5 elements, as you engage with that part of the reading guide, it's going to, I think, just equip you all the more as you go into the reading to read these psalms and engage with them.
Yeah. And there's nothing magical about the 15 Psalms that we'll read in this series. I mean,
There's everything magical about them.
All Psalms can be Psalms for prayer, right? But our intention here is to see how, you know, what we've already talked about, how we can use Psalms as a way to enter into God's presence, to enter into our emotion, to confess and acknowledge those before the Lord. And so this is just a sampling, really. Mm-hmm. And truly, you know, we find examples of prayer all through Scripture.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't view these as limitations at all, but just, it's just sort of an entryway into the richness that is available to us. Mm-hmm.
And,
in this
and
book.
On that, those elements you've given us, they're on page 15 there, how God is addressed, describing our situation, confessing our mm-hmm. sin and need, requesting his help, then praising him. I mean, the great thing is we can take those and use those for any Psalms. So this guide actually is going to be, I'm going to keep that page for when I'm looking at Psalms after this guide. That's just a good template for study generally.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. It's interesting, the kind of the wide range, even in this week, of the five Psalms for prayer that we'll
be
reading.
Yeah, they're very
It's a big
varied.
Swing. Yeah, yes. Yeah. And you'll see, again, back to the reading guide, you'll see in your guides on pages 86 and 87, this sort of like range of emotions in the Psalms and sort of some examples of each emotion throughout the Psalms. But it's interesting, and I'd love to hear from you, Sam, or you, Amanda. When I think of using the Psalms for prayer, mm-hmm. it is typically for when I'm feeling negative emotions, like when I am afraid, when I am sorrowful, like when I need comfort. And I want to be the girl that turns to the Psalms in delight, that like to celebrate God's goodness. I want to open the Psalms and I want to read a psalm to praise God's greatness, right? What is your relationship, guys, with like reading the Psalms? Do you are you like me, or like do you open the Psalms for the good times?
I think I'm a bit like you, actually. I tend to pull them out and reach for them when I'm going through a difficult time. So I'm just struck by what you said there, because I remember talking to someone who's involved in mountain rescue in England, and he said to me, far more accidents happen coming down a mountain than going up a mountain, because people feel as though the hard bit's behind them. They're not as attentive, they're not as careful, and they're not aware of the dangers of coming down rather than of going up. And it struck me, sometimes in the Christian life, things going well can be more spiritually dangerous for us than things going badly. Because when things are going badly, we're very aware of our needs. Typically, you know, we're forced to lean on the Lord. Sometimes when things are going well, we can forget him, because we sort of think we've clearly got this ourselves. We're in control. So I think that would be a really good discipline to think, okay, when things are great, I really need to pray. I really need the Lord. And there's, as you say, the Psalms give us all the kind of ways of doing that. There's Psalms of gratitude and praise. And it's good to celebrate when things are going well, but it's celebrating those things with the Lord and being reminding ourselves that we don't need him less when things are going well.
That's right.
There's unique dangers to times of prosperity.
That's good. Yeah. You know, I have a friend of a friend who is excellent at caring for people, to the point where this person has built a small, very tiny, tiny house in the back of their property. And it's a place for people to come to just be cared for. Mm. And one of the things, and there was so much intentionality in this project, but one of the things that they did, as you get closer to this little tiny building, the path goes from being paved to gravel. And they said that that's intentional because it is, you pay more attention when you're walking on gravel naturally than when you're walking on pavement. You're more in tune with the ground. You're like, you're hearing the gravel. You're watching your step a little bit more. And it just truly physically slows your body and in some ways your mind as well. And so I like to think maybe of some of these Psalms as changing from pavement to gravel. Wait, I need to like slow down and pay more attention to, even if things are going well, let me slow down and look alive. Like you kind of said, like coming back down a mountain when things are going well, how do I need to be attentive to what's happening?
Yeah, that's good. I mean, and honestly, even when things are good, they're still pretty complicated, right?
Absolutely.
Like I was reading
that's fair.
I mean, you know, the reading for today is Psalm 145, and there's nothing overtly negative, like in terms of like negative emotion. I mean, it's the headline is a prayer for praising God's greatness. Mm-hmm. And it's a psalm of David. And that's what he does, is he praises God's greatness. But I just couldn't help but, as I was reading this, mm-hmm. of thinking, I think this is David reciting, like kind of what you said, Sam, reciting what he knows to be true of God, even though, you know, we know enough about David that we could venture a guess that something was going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he had a lot, he lived a very eventful life, right? And so, and just like us, it's like our circumstances can seem kind of at ease and sometimes even feel at ease. Mm-hmm. But if we dig deep enough, mm-hmm. there's always something mm-hmm. there. And yeah. so I couldn't help but think, as I was reading through Psalm 145, it almost feels like the phrase act as if came to mind. And I don't really mean, because God really is great.
This is true.
Right? Like,
yes.
this is actually truth.
Mm-hmm.
But those times where you're like,
it's the okay, preach to yourself.
I'm just going to say, I will bless you every day. I will praise your name. Mm-hmm. I will speak of your splendor. I will do all these things. And it's like Israel, right? Like you're like, I will. I'm probably going to fail, but I will. And it's more of this kind of like a reminder to ourselves of what we want, like what I want to do these things, right? And then a reminder of who God is.
Yeah.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. You are faithful. You help all who fall. So, you know, we look to you. You're near to those who call to you. So just this, almost like a big pep talk, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like as much as it is a hymn of praise to God, it's also like, okay, soul, mm-hmm. this is what's true. This mm-hmm. is what we're about.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a really healthy way to speak to yourself. And again, this mm-hmm. is what we see a lot of in the Psalms. It's that talking to your own soul.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
In some contexts, talking to yourself is a sign of madness. In the Psalms, it's actually a sign of spiritual sanity.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
So it's interesting. I think the other thing, I love how you just express that, because there are certain Psalms where I'm saying them and I'm praying them aspirationally.
That's right.
I'm thinking, okay, my heart isn't longing for the Lord above every single other thing in the universe. Actually, it's longing for a bunch of stuff right now. But I'm thinking, okay, I'm praying this because actually I'm wanting to train my heart. This is what should be the case.
That's mm-hmm. right.
And I think the other thing, the other dimension to this is we've talked a lot about the Psalms kind of exegeting our own emotional state and context. But the other character here is Christ himself, because, you know, Jesus shows us the whole of the Old Testament is about him. The Psalms too are mm-hmm. about Christ. And there are Psalms where I'm thinking, yeah, on it's my good. Best days, I might better pray this and it might actually be true mm-hmm. of me. On many other days, it's not quite true of me, or it is. It's like putting on clothes that are, you know, seven sizes too big for you. And, you know, when you're a kid and I went to one of the schools I went to, we had uniforms and so parents do what parents do, which is they buy a uniform that will fit you in about 18 months' time, and you'll grow into it. And there's some of these prayers I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to keep praying this, but I'm aware I'm going to need to grow into it. And
yeah.
I'm also aware that I don't need to be able to pray this prayer perfectly every day, because Christ already did.
Amen.
He already embodied a perfect heart for his Father. He lived a life of perfect worship, of perfect mm-hmm. praise, of perfectly responding to God in every emotional state he found himself in. And so there's a reassurance here that even when I'm reading a psalm thinking, wow, my heart is nowhere near there at the moment, to
right.
think, that's okay. Jesus did that part of his life perfectly
yeah.
so that I don't have to.
That's great.
I'm thankful you pointed that out, because he responded perfectly to the Lord in every circumstance and emotion. And also honestly, I think sometimes we think we can't be honest, that the emotion itself is
imperfect,
sinful, or yeah.
yeah.
And like, I mean, we see it in the garden. That is the classic example,
mm-hmm.
right? Where Jesus actually asks not to have to do the thing that he has to do.
Yeah.
And it doesn't get much more honest than that.
No.
And just deep distress.
Right.
My, yeah, my heart is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death.
Yes.
So when, as and when the people of God find themselves in that place emotionally, it's not unspiritual.
It's not the first time.
Not unspiritual.
That's good.
Because
that's good.
Christ felt that way. And I think that's the key with all of these psalms is it's not unspiritual to feel depressed. It's not unspiritual to feel frightened. It's not unspiritual to feel worried.
I wish that there could be a way for there to be like a Holy Spirit megaphone across the capital C church, like worldwide. And like, as people are gathered this week to just say, it's not unspiritual to have human emotions. Like, because we really struggle with that. I, like a dear loved one of mine was saying recently, like, I feel angry for the first time in a really long time, and it feels right. Like, it feels, I'm thankful, you know, she was thankful that she could feel anger because she hadn't been able to feel anger. Yeah. And it was such an honor of mine as someone who loves her to go, that's right. Mm-hmm. Like, it's good to be able to feel emotions. That's the way God created us to feel emotions.
Yeah, there's a sense in which I think for some of us, that lack of emotional integrity is a real challenge to spiritual health, because sometimes it's as if we've got to present the Instagram version of our heart, even to the Lord himself, even when he sees our heart, maybe even to ourselves, and we deny the various things that are going on in there. I think another danger for, particularly for us in this cultural time in North America, and the same would be for the UK where I'm from, there's a sort of false understanding of authenticity, which is expressing what is going on emotionally, but is sort of making that the final word and saying, well, this is how I feel. I'm just being authentic. You've got to accept it. That's just the way it is. And again, the Psalms don't let us get away with that either, because typically the vast majority of these Psalms, the emotions don't have the final word. There's always that sort of, and yet I will come back to the Lord. I'm going to praise God, even in anticipation of how he's going to answer this. Or I rejoice that, you know, I'm feeling horrible, but I know the Lord has heard my prayer. And so it's not simply about expressing myself as if that is the end point of it all. It's expressing myself so that the gospel can come into contact with what I've just expressed and come into conversation with what I've just expressed.
That's so good. Yes. I mean, it's like those five elements that we talked about in a psalm of prayer. You're going to get that moment to describe, you know, what I am feeling, what is happening. But like you said, that's not the final destination. Like, that's when we like remind ourselves of what is true, when we confess, but then we request and then we praise. You're like, there's a whole script. It is not a stopping point of just going like, here's how I feel. It's, you know, what we sometimes say that, you know, even with the invitation of the Lord, come as you are, but don't stay as you are, right? Like, let me heal you. Let me like remind you of what is true when you forget it.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Jesus in the garden. He doesn't simply say, take this cup. He says,
That's right.
Your will.
Yes, yes.
So there's that both, here's where I'm at, but also there's something bigger and more compelling than just where I'm at.
Yeah, it's good. On a very unspiritual note, I need to add, before we move from, Amanda's eyes are big, like, what is she going to say? As we move out of Psalm 145, I need the lifelong students who are listening to free themselves. I struggled with the worksheet on Psalm 145 because there weren't answers for every question. And so it feels like a ministry of mine to say to you, there will be questions on that worksheet. The answer will be really nothing. You can just put a tick mark. You can put NA. I need you to hear that freedom that not every psalm has every element. And so anyway, that's just my,
you know what,
non-spiritual addition to this episode.
The way that I addressed that problem is I just turned the page real fast. I don't know what to do.
You were like, I can't.
For me, as well, like, one of the things I actually have to keep saying to myself anytime I use any guide like this, where there's a space to write in your own thing, is no one is going to be collecting this in and marking it.
Yes.
Correct.
Hallelujah.
So this is just for me. This is not for the publisher. Is not going to knock on my door next week and go, okay, can I have those in now? And we'll send you the grades in a few weeks. And then you'll get your F on being a Christian.
You left a lot of blanks, Rachel.
It's just a way to process. And you're right. And some of these things we don't have an answer for yet. And that's actually the Psalms often express, I don't have the answer to this part yet.
Yeah.
But I know that there's one of the Psalms in this guide. Yeah, it's Psalm 6, a prayer for mercy. There's a bit where David is dealing with all kinds of crazy stuff from the sounds of it. With my tears, I dampen my bed. He's not a happy man at this point, clearly. Yeah. He says, depart from me, evildoers. So there's people who are out to get him.
Mm-hmm.
But he says in verse 9, the Lord has heard my plea for help. The Lord accepts my prayer.
Amen.
And I think, okay, I don't always know the answer to X, Y, and Z in my particular situation, but I can say with confidence, because of the shed blood of Jesus, the Lord has heard my plea for help.
The Lord
has accepted my prayer. My prayer may have been inarticulate. It may have been theologically incorrect. I was talking to someone the other day who had just led someone to Christ. And as this person prayed a prayer of commitment to Christ for the first time, he was cussing because that's the only way he knows how to speak. And I'm thinking, this is great because the Spirit fixes our prayers on the way up, thankfully. So we can say with David, okay, there's all the things on the column of what I don't know and can't write in a box yet. But what I do know is God has heard my prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's enough just for today in the turmoil and the pain to think, okay, I don't know the way forwards in this situation. I have no idea how I'm going to cope, but I know the Lord has heard my plea for help. And there's comfort just in that reality.
I mean, what a beautiful amen to so many prayers, to just like to close your prayer to the Lord with Psalm 6, verse 9. Yeah. The Lord has heard my plea for help. The Lord accepts my prayer.
Yeah. I don't know anything else other than that.
Anything else, but he heard me and he accepts it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of the most significant pieces of advice I was ever given as a Christian was from a wonderful older Christian man. It was soon after I'd become a Christian. And he said to me once, deal with what you don't know in the context of what you do know.
Yes,
and
that's good.
There's so much we don't know in life. There's going to be a lot of empty boxes on some of these guides.
Yeah.
But I can know actually God accepts my prayer, not because it was a great prayer, but because I'm praying in a great name. And that can be enough sometimes just to know that.
Yeah. Amen.
Hey friends, pausing this conversation to tell you about one of our podcast sponsors, Hiya. Now, it's no secret that typical children's vitamins are basically candy in disguise, right? They're filled with tons of sugar, unhealthy chemicals, and other gummy junk that your kids just don't need. That is why Hiya was created. It is the pediatrician-approved, super-powered, chewable vitamin. It has 12 organic fruits and vegetables, 15 essential vitamins and minerals, and Hiya has zero sugar. It's vegan, dairy-free, allergy-free, gelatin-free, nut-free, all the things you want in a children's vitamin. And somehow, kids still love it. And I have to tell you, so do all the moms with young kids here at the She Reads Truth office. So if you want to see if Hiya is right for your family, we have a special deal just for you where you can get 50% off your first order. Just go to HiyaHealth.com/truth. Your first order will arrive with a super cute bottle that your kids can decorate with stickers, and then each month's supply of vitamins will arrive right at your door. You don't even have to think about it. This deal is not available on the regular website, so be sure to go to Hiya Health, that's HiyaHealth.com/truth, and claim your discount and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults.
Hey friends, quick ad break to tell you about a new dog food brand our family has discovered called Sundays for Dogs. I'll get to all the details of why Sundays is such a great product to know about, but first, I have to tell you what happened in the Myers home this month when our Vishla Honey gave it a try. It was 4th of July weekend, and the firework sounds made her a ball of nerves for days. She's already a super lean animal, so 3 days of an emotional hunger strike from her regular dog food had her looking super skinny. Anyway, it was the perfect day for our first delivery of Sundays for Dogs. I opened the bag and she was immediately interested. Like, I think she thought it was a bag of treats. She could hardly wait for me to set the bowl down before she was inhaling their 90% meat, 10% vegetable, 0% synthetic mix. Her hunger strike didn't stand a chance against this stuff, and that was the first reason that I knew I wanted to tell y'all about it. Besides the fact that Honey clearly loved the USDA beef and the all-natural chicken, she was also getting digestive benefits from pumpkin, ginger, and disease-fighting antioxidants. We've loved continuing to feed Honey Sundays for Dogs because, first of all, her enthusiasm for mealtime has not dimmed, but also long-term enjoyment benefits include softer fur, fresher breath, better poops, and more energy, which she doesn't really need a lot of help in that department, but we'll take it. Listen, you know how much we love to talk about simplifying your life with subscriptions around here. So, along with your SRT monthly study book delivery, consider adding Sundays for Dogs to your list of subscriptions. Now, I've got details for how you can get 35% off your first order of Sundays. Go to sundaysfordogs.com/truth or use code TRUTH at checkout. That's sundaysfordogs.com/truth. Upgrade your pup to Sundays and feel good about the food you feed your dog.
I thought a lot about Hebrews 4 as I was reading these Psalms of just like, we can approach the throne with boldness.
Yeah.
And there are some Psalms in the Bible and some prayers not in the Psalms that are in the Bible that are very bold and very honest. And that is the invitation. Like, recently was reading Psalm 139, and this was, you know, a week or so ago, and how, you know, it ends with, you know, search me, God, and know my heart. And I thought, well, God already knows my heart. But that invitation for him to know me, he doesn't need that in order to know me, but I need that, right? Like, I need to invite him in. And that's so much of what prayer is. You know, we're not telling God anything he doesn't know, but it is a relationship exercise. Mm-hmm. Like, I walked in today, Rachel, and Rachel knew by looking at me that I was having a hard morning. Mm-hmm. Well, yes, I am, as a matter of fact. But so she knew it without me telling her. Yeah. But like the exercise of you asking and of me saying, it fosters the relationship that exists between us, right?
Yeah.
And every time we have one of those conversations, our relationship just, it's like it steals the relationship more and more.
Yeah. And even if you're praying something where you absolutely know the answer to the prayer, you absolutely know what God's going to do in response. So in one sense, you might think, well, I don't need to ask this because I know what the answer is. There's still something honoring to the Lord and healthy to us to go ahead and ask for it anyway.
That's right.
I often think if a couple have been dating forever and it's obvious they're going to get married, the guy almost doesn't need to propose, but it's still good to do so because it means honoring her and say, I'm not just going to presume this. I know you wanting to marry me and I'm wanting to marry you, but it still honors you for me to get on my knee and ask. And actually, it does me good to adopt that posture as well, even if I already know what the answer is and there's no doubt in my mind. And I think we have that
good
with the Lord as well at times.
Good. It's like a continued posture of vulnerability and in this case, worship, right?
Yeah.
That God is God. And by bringing myself before him just as I am and saying all the things that he already knows and asking for the things that he already knows are the desires of my heart, I am acknowledging again and again and again that he's God. And it's a trust, you know, in human relationships to share these intimate details of what's going on in our hearts and our minds is an exercise of trust. And it's, you know, human relationships and our relationship with God are not the same, but it is also an exercise of trust to speak the truth before the Lord.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of an exercise of trust, Wednesday this week, we'll read Psalm 77. And it might be one of my favorite Psalms that we read this week because it's a prayer for when God seems silent. And one of the many things that it does is it really does model all the things that we've been talking about so far in this episode. I'd actually Sam, could I ask you to read Psalm 77 for us before we talk about it? Because it really is going to model those, you know, five elements.
I would be delighted to. I'll apologize now for some of the Hebrew names that I get wrong. So Psalm 77, for the choir director, according to Jeduthun of Asaph, a psalm. I cry aloud to God, aloud to God, and he will hear me. I sought the Lord in my day of trouble. My hands were continually lifted up all night long. I refused to be comforted. I think of God. I groan. I meditate. My spirit becomes weak. You have kept me from closing my eyes. I am troubled and cannot speak. I consider days of old, years long past. At night I remember my music. I meditate in my heart, and my spirit ponders. Will the Lord reject forever and never again show favor? Has his faithful love ceased forever? Is his promise at an end for all generations? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? So I say, I am grieved that the right hand of the Most High has changed. I will remember the Lord's works. Yes, I will remember your ancient wonders. I will reflect on all you have done and meditate on your actions. God, your way is holy. What God is great like God? You are the God who works wonders. You revealed your strength among the peoples. With power you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The water saw you, God. The water saw you. It trembled. Even the depths shook. The clouds poured down water. The storm clouds thundered. Your arrows flashed back and forth. The sound of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Lightning lit up the world. The earth shook and quaked. Your way went through the sea and your path through the vast water, but your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron.
I mean, the honesty there.
Mm-hmm. And some of that imagery is intense.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for reading that, Sam. Wow.
It's interesting, the psalmist so naturally switches between talking about God to talking to God.
Yeah.
Sometimes in the space of a sentence, God, your way is holy. What God is great like God? And there's something healthy there that challenges me. Sometimes I'm in consciously, I'm in prayer mode. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to pray now. Mm-hmm. And then I'm out of prayer mode and I'm in rest of life mode. I think for many of the psalmists, there's not that kind of dichotomy.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about the Lord and say, it feels natural to be talking to him and to intermingle the two.
Yeah.
Whether it's positive thoughts of the Lord or frankly, negative thoughts of the Lord. That constant recourse to prayer. And it makes me aware I tend to have to gear up to pray.
Yeah.
Whereas here, there doesn't seem to be that. It's just, you know, I'm talking to one of you, then I'm talking to the other one of you. I don't have to kind of switch modes to do that. And it's like that with, I'm talking to other people about the Lord and then I'm talking to the Lord about the Lord.
Yeah.
It should all be on the same continuum.
Yeah.
Even that the Lord invites us to talk to him about him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is such a wild posture,
isn't it?
For the God of the universe to be like, go ahead, like, let's talk about it.
It's as if God is saying to us in so many of these psalms, it's as if he's saying, I know I'm not straightforward.
Yeah.
I know you don't quite know what to make of me at times. So let's talk about it.
Wow.
Which is, again, so gracious of him. He didn't have to be like that.
He doesn't have to be like that.
So even though in this particular psalm, the psalmist is, you know, he's questioning one of those foundational truths about God. Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in his anger withheld his compassion? We know from elsewhere that the Lord being compassionate and gracious is his kind of, that's his pinned tweet throughout the Bible. That's the thing he is always saying is true of himself. The psalmist is saying, have you kind of forgotten to, you know, how to be gracious? Have you forgotten how to be compassionate?
Mm-hmm.
But it's God who's actually helping him to say that, which is, God is...
And inviting him to say.
Yeah, God is actually being gracious and compassionate at the very moment the psalmist is saying, I kind of think you've forgotten how to do your job here. Because the very fact we can come to God and say that, and that that prayer be acceptable to him, is precisely... We could only do that if he really was gracious and compassionate. Otherwise, he would zap us the moment we finished that sentence.
Yeah. Oh, but he doesn't because he's gracious and compassionate.
So sometimes even bringing the questions and the complaints to the Lord gives us part of the answer itself. The very process of saying, the very process of thinking, I can offload on God here. Is that itself is telling me something about who he is and the kind of relationship and safety that he gives to us.
That's good. Yeah. What you got there, Rachel? I see you looking at something in your book.
I mean, I also loved day five. I also loved Psalm 27. The prayer for when I feel afraid, like one of the first things that struck me is in those first two verses, or maybe it's the first verse, like where I almost, as I was filling out the worksheet, you know, what are the emotions present in these psalms? I was like, is it fear? I can't tell. And then I read the heading of the thing where it says a prayer for when I feel afraid. So I was like, okay, good. I think I can put fear here. But the way that in this case, the way that David prays this prayer is from the start, really reminding himself of what is true. Like verse one of Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom should I dread? And he goes on and talks about, you know, the evildoers that are against him. And he says, my heart says this about you. Seek his face. Lord, I will seek your face. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not leave me or abandon me, God of my salvation. And then the very last kind of segment of this, verses 13 and 14, I am certain. He's preaching to himself here, like, what is true? I am certain that I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart be courageous. Wait for the Lord. This is why after reading it, I was like, is there fear here? I can't tell. No, it's a psalm for when I am afraid, but this is a favorite. Really beautiful.
Yeah. Again, we get that kind of internal dialogue. So, yeah. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? It makes no sense to fear anyone if God is for me.
Right.
But, verse 2, there's fearful things in this world.
Yes.
Right.
So he's not saying, you know, don't fear anything.
They're enemies. Yeah. Evildoers.
Which is why we need to keep coming back to... I love verse 4 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And again, sometimes I pray this aspirationally rather than... I have asked one thing from the Lord. It is what I desire to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gazing on the beauty of the Lord and seeking him in his temple. And I think one of the reasons that's such a precious verse to me is, again, it reminds me this is not ultimately about duty. I'm not obligated to be a worshiper of God. I mean, I am on one level. But actually, there's a beauty in the Lord that actually will satisfy us. And I think this came up in one of the other psalms in the guide as well, but this idea that I'm never really going to triumph over sin unless God is more attractive to me, more beautiful to me than the sin is. And this just reminds me, God is not just the one who is right. We've all had authority figures in our lives that, you know I'm supposed to do what you say and I know you're right, but I kind of resent it and you're a bit of a jerk about it. God is beautiful. And so he is to be desired by us. So, David is praying that whenever he wrote this prayer. We can read those words and think, yeah, I can open up one of the Gospels and see the Lord and gaze upon his beauty. And this is one of the verses I use when I'm reading one of the Gospels, is thinking, okay, what I'm doing here is I'm gazing upon the beauty of the Lord. I get to see him in action here.
I love that. That's good.
Sam, as we... like venture, I mean, here we are, we're on the Monday of this 3-week journey through some of the Psalms and viewing them as, like the series is called, Psalms for Prayer. You said earlier, you know, that we know that all of Scripture is about Jesus, and that includes the Psalms. The Psalms are ultimately about Jesus. Can you like give us just kind of an encouraging word, a bit of a pep talk as we move through, because it's such an array of emotion. We've talked about a lot of them today. How do we look for Jesus and find him as we walk through these Psalms?
Yeah, I think in more than one way. So there are some Psalms where you're thinking, you know, actually only a perfect follower of God can truly say these words. And so I'm thinking, actually only Jesus gets to say this. But as someone who is in Jesus, I get to say it too, because it's now been declared true of me, because I've now been justified. So there's some of that sort of, you know, There are some psalms that show me Jesus is my champion because he is able to say for me words that I can't say of myself.
Hmm.
Who can ascend the hill of the Lord? And you sort of think, well, not me, but he can, and he brings us with him. So there's that way. I think as well, again, when we hear the turmoil of some of these psalms, again, we're thinking Jesus walked through that very turmoil himself. Mm-hmm. Back to Hebrews 4. He's not unable to sympathize. He was tested in every way. His experience of all the brokenness and darkness of this world was comprehensive. There's no category of turmoil he doesn't know better than me. And so as I'm reading some of those psalms and seeing the turmoil, I'm thinking, wow, I'm wrestling with this in my life in one level, but Jesus dealt with this ultimately. And so again, I can hide in him and I can rest in the fact that he's been there and done that better than I ever will. And again, I don't need to be the perfect Christian in this situation. Christ has been that already. And I think the other way is that there are certain psalms that leave a sort of a loose thread dangling that we only really see resolved in Christ, which is, okay, Lord, I'm failing you, I'm failing you, I'm doubting you, I'm mad at you, I don't trust you yet. I mean, Psalm 51 is on one of the mm-hmm. one of the days. Day 11, Psalm 51, a prayer for restoration. This really struck me that there is David. He has sinned really seriously. This is not a kind of, you know, I stole a piece of candy from the store kind of sin. He has wrecked lives as the backdrop to his sin against Bathsheba and Uriah. This is serious stuff. And yet David can say in verse 1, be gracious to me, God, according to your faithful love, according to your abundant compassion, blot out my rebellion. David has confidence, even at the height of his own sinfulness, that God is a God of faithful love and abundant compassion. God is a God who blots out rebellion. And the thoughtful Israelite would have been reading those words going, yeah, but how? I mean, where's the Lord's compassion to Uriah? If the Lord's compassion onto Uriah, then surely David should be blotted out, not his transgression. So there's kind of little mysteries there that we see resolved in the cross. We think, oh yeah, you can pray that even with when you've got blood in your hands, precisely because the death of Jesus means God can blot out my rebellion. He can be compassionate to me in my sinfulness. He can love me faithfully, even when I'm being very, very unlovely, because of Jesus. And so we can read the cross back into so many of these psalms and think, okay, this is how I can have confidence, even when my own heart is a complete train wreck.
Yeah.
So I'm so grateful for Psalm 51, precisely because it's not a trivial sin David committed there.
Right.
This is, you know, in our day, that would be ministry disqualifying sin. But even that, the Lord can be gracious because of Christ. God is not having to compromise his standards by forgiving David. So we see how the grace of God, the compassion of God can be reconciled to the holiness of God and the righteousness of God in these psalms.
Yeah, that's good. That's so helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Sam, for that. And just really this whole episode, as I have, you know, over the past hour, just been enjoying your company and getting to have a conversation with you and Amanda around God's word, around the psalms, I just feel like the Lord has just kind of said, like, this conversation is a psalm. Like, it's just this beautiful, and like, Sam, the way that you speak of God's word, it feels like a psalm. Like, there's just this honesty, there's this affection, there's this love. So I want to thank you for your time and for giving that, not just to us, but to our listeners.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much for letting me join you. It's done me good to read through this guide and to think upon these things. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Well, friends listening, it is day one of 3 weeks of prayers in the Psalms. I mentioned a bit ago that we just finished the book of Romans yesterday, and that was its own type of book, and this is its own type of book of study. I do want to encourage you. to really consider grabbing one of the reading guides, because the online and the app are going to give you the reading for the week. But what I really want you to have is the worksheet, and more than that, like the reference. Like, I want you to be able to have this as a life resource, mm-hmm. to be able to go like, I need a Psalm 4X. Like, help me look that up. Yeah. Like, help me to just truly something to like reference back to.
Yeah. So this is a fun one to do digitally too.
It's fun on an iPad to get to like fill out the worksheet. There is a ton of worksheet satisfaction to be had.
Yes, there is.
But as you do the worksheet, you're doing some good heart work as well. So that's, it's wonderful. Anyway, all that to say, I am excited for you and with you for the reading that lies ahead of you this week. I encourage you, I hope this episode really just like launches you into God's word, to be a woman or a man in God's word every day this week. And then, of course, we have next week, EJ Gaines is going to be our guest, and we will look at five more psalms or portions of psalms. And I will tell you, here's your little preview. We will read from week 2, a prayer for times of need, a prayer for mercy, which Sam, you mentioned a bit ago, a prayer for comfort, a prayer for restoration, which was another one that we mentioned today, and a prayer for justice. It's going to be a good week of psalm reading next week as well. But until next week, Sam, thank you for coming. And what do we tell our friends?
Keep opening your Bibles.